everything you feel and what you see. The freshness of the breeze, our mountains and our trees are history. Building towers to the sky, an insult to the eye. We don't want to lose what we have to greedy men. How can you sell what you don't own? Our forests and our homes. How can you put a price tag on what we have?
That's the Attic Girls, who have a movie coming out July 10th at the Flying Monkey Movie House in Plymouth. And those details are on my website at briantilton.com. It's the first Northern Pass documentary that's being released in New Hampshire. And that'll be coming up at 7 p.m. July 10th. So coming up in just under a couple of weeks. So go to my Northern Pass page at briantilton.com for more information on that. With more information and some insight as to what's going on with the proposed route by Northern Pass that we've been talking about all this hour is Donna Jordan from the Colebrook Chronicle, who's been reviewing a lot of the same information that I've just been sharing with you. And Donna, welcome back to Bulldog Live.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. So the map, I just got a hold of the map just a couple minutes ago, literally. And so I'm still trying to figure that out, look at it, got to zoom in and all. But here, let's talk about what you know about this.
Well, as I look at this map, Brian, which we received this morning as well here at the Chronicle, I'm looking at a blue line that moves the route further east than the original 2010-2011 proposal. But that blue line follows all of the land purchases that Northern Pass, or actually Renewable Properties, has been making on behalf of Northern Pass for the past year and a half. And it's the exact route that we have been reporting in the paper. So first off, there's nothing new to us today as we look at this. Secondly, this route does give the appearance that they intend to go under or over or somehow through the Connecticut Lakes headwaters, which is a huge question, of course.
Yeah, well, WMUR News was reporting last night that this was going to avoid the Connecticut headwaters. They also said they were going to underground, you know, I guess around Colebrook or something like that. Well, Colebrook's not even mentioned in their press release today.
Right. It's actually Clarksville and Stewartstown. I think that maybe WMUR, when they were saying Stewartstown and Colebrook, should have been saying Stewartstown and Clarksville, because that's where the 8 miles are located for the proposed underground. And I, according to their proposal today, which is really their official word, we've all been watching this, as I say, for the past year and a half, and there's not really any surprises here. It's basically them putting their stamp of approval on it to announce to the public that, yes, this is the route that they're looking at. Maybe they have some sort of a plan to go around that Connecticut Lakes headwaters, but that's going to require another huge investment of money for them, for whether it's for rights of way or land purchases, because the only way to get out of the Connecticut Lakes headwaters area is to go around that huge parcel of properties that the Forest Society has put under an easement. And none of that has taken place yet. So is that a hoped for? Is that a dream? Is that a concept they have ahead of them? They can also, they're also proposing this underground under Route 3 in Pittsburgh. Well, how do they get there? Are they talking about going north beyond the Forest Society easement, which blocks them when they first come into Pittsburgh, or and then coming down Route 3? Or are they talking about trying to get underneath the Forest Society easement and onto the property across the street that, you know, would, or could they be, there's a whole question of this that brings up a million questions. Are they talking about perhaps going underground on their own property, digging straight down, and then shooting underneath the Forest Society property, coming back up on Northern Pass property on the other side? Does that not count if they go under that amount of land? Does that not count as impacting Forest Society property? I don't know. But this is not a new proposal that we're seeing today.
No, and it seems like, because as you've been talking about at the Colebrook Chronicle for the past year, all the land purchases that have been recorded and reported in your newspaper, too, it does seem to follow along that same route. It looks like, according to this map, it's kind of weird. They're still going to be skirting right around the Coleman State Park, too. So they're coming wicked close to that as well.
One of the things about the North Country, Pittsburgh, Clarksville, Stewartstown in particular, is the huge amount of land under easement, state easements, federal easements. It's an enormous amount of properties, and it makes it virtually impossible for this type of a project to come through this region, which is essentially why all of that land was put under easement in the first place, was to stop this type of thing from happening in the North Country. It's a pretty spectacular place, and I know that there are those who look at it and say, but it's out in the woods or it's off in the distance, you're never going to see it, it can be hidden. But the concept is to preserve that land so that it always remains wild, it's never industrialized.
Well, and Gary Long was trying to say that today about, well, it's very remote, very few people mm-hmm. will be impacted by this. But, you forget about the hunters, the fishermen, the snowmobilers, the ATVers, mm-hmm. They'll all be affected. The people that come from this part of the state to go to the North Country to recreate and camp and all of that.
That's exactly right. And with the opening of all of those new ATV trails, over 1,000 miles of trails right in this region, those people are looking for a drive out into the wilderness. And some of that wilderness is not forested. It's wide open. And they're just looking for the beauty of that area. They're looking to be a tourist in a place of that natural beauty. To industrialize it with these overhead lines is completely unnatural.
Yeah, looking at Donna Jordan joining us here on Bulldog Live from the Colebrook Chronicle has been reporting a lot on the land purchases by Northern Pass in the past year, but also by the Forest Society for their conservation easements. And I see there, according to this red line that I'm seeing, they are going way further east. In fact, they're going even east of the Balsams conservation easement as well. So what are they trying to do, hook up with the Wagner Forest, it seems?
Well, yes, that's where they have an agreement, a lease agreement with the Wagner Forest, and that took place a few months ago. They signed the agreement so that they're coming down from out of Stewartstown into Colebrook through land that they've purchased, except for that one connector in Stewartstown that they can't get through because of the Connecticut Headwaters easement. Mm-hmm. But as they come through Colebrook, they then turn directly east. They go around the Coleman State Park, they turn directly east, and when they enter Dixville Notch, they enter just above the Balsams easement, and they're on the Wagner Forest land, and they could go right around the entire Balsams easement mm-hmm. and head right on down along with the windmills, and everything else. It's sort of like a...
And join the Coas Loop, perhaps.
Exactly. And then they head into Dummer, and from Dummer, they'll go through Stark and Northumberland. A lot of people know Northumberland as Groveton. Mm-hmm. And in there, they have another suggested new route. The reason why that's a new route is because it's not on the 2010 proposal. They never intended to go through Stark. They had a little tiny nick of it in the 2010 proposal, but with this 2013 proposal, it's exactly what we were reporting on, which is that once they enter Dummer, they'll need to have a new route in order to get into Northumberland to the current PSNH right-of-way.
So I see them, when they come in around Stark and into the Lost Nation substation, mm-hmm. they are going through a portion of the White Mountain National Forest, it looks like, as well. So there's another easement that they're going to have to get from the Forest Service.
That would be correct.
Yeah.
That would be correct. They have an awful lot ahead of them in order to make this route take place.
I don't see where all the dots are connected for
yeah.
them to be able to be confident that they can file in 2014 with the New Hampshire Site Evaluation Committee, let alone, well, they can do an amended presidential permit application. I mean, that was what they did back in 2010.
Right, exactly.
And they didn't own a piece of land then, so
right.
Very interesting.
They do say, along with this map, that an amended application was submitted to the U.S. Department of Energy, and it explains the proposed route. But I haven't been able to find anything on the Department of Energy website, so it's possible they just haven't uploaded it to their website yet, and there's no link to it from what I've been able to find through the press release that we've received from PSNH on today's announcement.
Yeah, and looking at where they're trying to underground here, in fact, I just received another map in the mail.
Oh, my goodness.
Supposedly showing the underground portions of the line through Clarksville and Stewartstown. Stewartstown as well. And it looks like they're trying to go underground on Route 3 right after they come across in Pittsburgh.
Yep, I just got that. That's so funny.
So I'm guessing, is this the Washburn Family Forest? Because I'm trying to recall my earlier conversations with the Forest Society.
Yes, it is.
Jack Savage will confirm this for me. Doesn't the Forest Society own both sides of the road there?
Yes, they do. And I'm just looking at that now. I'm blowing it up nice and large on my computer. And, you can see, you're looking at the map that shows a purple shaded area.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Oh, I see. Okay.
Well, actually, it's a map with two crossings on it, Route 3 River Crossing and then the Stewartstown Clarksville area,
yes.
where it looks like they're going across Route 145 over there in Clarksville
yes,
as well.
Yes, they're going. Okay, we'll start with the Pittsburgh area, because then when we get to the Route 145 area, I'm looking at my house. So it'll get a little more personal at that point. I'm looking at the Pittsburgh crossing, and it appears that they've jogged it a little bit north, which is what would account for the 2,300 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So they've jogged it a little bit north to come down to go onto property that they have purchased and they have a right-of-way. That would get them freely onto Route 3, and then they would come down Route 3 and cross into the 50-foot right-of-way that they have on the Washburn Family Forest. But 50 feet is an awful small amount, an awful small width. My suggestion here is that they intend to continue the burial through that 50-foot right-of-way, but they still will need Forest Society approval to do that. And then they'll come back up above ground. They continue on with properties they've purchased in Clarksville until they get literally to my next-door neighbor, which was the LeBlanc property, and they cross onto Route 145. They will come down Route 145, and they want to cross right in front of my house. There's an intersection where I live, and they want to go up Clarksville Pond Road, where they will then hit the parcels that they've purchased on Clarksville Pond Road. Let's see. And then they have, boy, oh, boy.
Looks like they go down some town roads as well.
Then they're
County Road, Hill Road, Bear Rock Road.
That's right. They are following all of Old County Road, which is a large portion of that is in the town of Clarksville. And then it crosses into the town of Stewartstown. The interesting thing about Old County Road is it's not a year-round maintained road. It ends at the Clarksville-Stewartstown town lines, and there's no more plowing. in wintertime. But it appears that they aren't even using the land. Yep, they go west of the land that they spent millions of dollars on.
Oh, isn't this ironic?
Yep.
Now, here's the big question, Donna.
And
west I'm sure...
of the Forest Society land. So, and then they go down more town roads. And they haven't been to any of these towns asking for approval to do this.
This was the next thing out of my mouth. You know, how can they put these lines on a map and they haven't talked to anybody about it?
Is this a way out for them? Is this a way for them to say, well, we can't get the approval from the towns to use their town roads? I mean, what kind of an effort is this?
Donna, this reminds me going back to 2010 when they drew the line on the map and they came up with the alternative route that went through Dalton and all those places,
mm-hmm.
too. And they said, well, yeah, well, we had to put a line on the map for the DOE to show an alternative route, but yet they didn't do any study on it. They just went, here, this looks good.
Yeah, this looks like dots on a map to me because it's similar to the situation that of 2010 and 11 where they come out and they say, this is what we're going to do and this is where we're going to do it. Instead of saying, we would like to use one of your town roads and we'd like to talk to your townspeople about our proposal before we put this onto a map. It's a continuation of the same way that they've been handling this from the beginning, which is they're not getting their stakeholders and townspeople involved in this.
Well, that's going to be very interesting. Donna, I'm out of time for this segment. Donna Jordan from the Colebrook Chronicle, which will have a full report on this, and you'll be able to read it at ColebrookChronicle.com. I know you're going to be up late tonight.
You got it.
Donna, thank you very much for coming on with us on short notice.
Thank
I appreciate
you,
it.
You're welcome.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. Okay. Bulldog Live continues, 1-866-823-1077 on the Pulse.